You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
The primary rule is that we always agree to say yes and. Mm-hmm. So what that means is whatever our partner says or puts forth, we agree that we're going to actively listen to that and say yes to it and then add on with our own idea. And so what this does is a few things. One, it teaches us how to actively listen because you can't add on to something that you didn't hear. It challenges us to actually consider the other person's viewpoint or idea before moving forward, when sometimes our natural tendency might be to be thinking more about what we're going to say versus being fully present and listening to the person in front of us. And a lot of times we miss out on great ideas because we say no before we've actually even considered it. And it opens us up to these great innovative ideas because now we are actually listening to the other person and looking for what can work versus what can't work.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. All right. Welcome, everyone, to Rochester Business Connections on the Real Business Connections Network. I am here with Caitlin Drago. Caitlin, what's up? How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Inspire Improv and Coaching Inc. You are yes. the owner of the everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited for this conversation. It's funny because you're an improv pro. You teach it in business and in just creative fine arts and in life, right? And sometimes I prepare questions, and maybe I should. Someone could tell me I should have. I intentionally didn't prepare any questions because in the spirit of improv, I wanted to kind of see where the conversation went. So in the spirit of improv, let's talk about exactly what you do at your company, maybe why you're passionate about it, just a little bit of the background of what you do on the day-to-day.
Sure. So I went to school for acting. And then after that, I did a brief stint of children's theater in the Midwest and then moved to Los Angeles to continue working and studying there. And that's where I got really into improv. I took classes at Upright Citizens Brigade, which is, you know, if I can toot my own horn, the first nationally accredited improv school in the country.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, so that's where I really started to hone that skill and really fell in love with improv. And then as I was getting into my late 20s and, you know, wasn't a famous sitcom actor at that point, I decided that it was time to move on. I was ready to do something different. And when I came back to Rochester, I just so happened to land at a firm that did consulting and leadership development. And so I shared with them, you know, I have this skill and I know that there are companies in bigger cities that use improv for team building and communication training and professional development. And I'd be happy to, you know, give that a go here. Now, mind you, I was hired as an executive assistant, but, you know, you miss all the shots that you don't take. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
anyway,
it's true.
So I started, you know, they started pulling me in here and there, kind of informally. And then also on the side, I was also volunteering with organizations mainly that served women in transition. And so I was doing both of those. And then I also got my coaching certification. And then I had my son and the whole world changed. And at that time, I was still kind of in this executive assistant slash coach situation. I was ready to be full-time coach and facilitator. So I started my own company because I knew that if I was going to be away from my son for any amount of time, I wanted to really be 100% in doing what I absolutely love to do. So now I take that coaching background and improv background and marry those together to help companies, mostly in the area of communication. So we work through teamwork, having difficult conversations, giving and receiving feedback, being able to just have more collaborative conversations in general, with this overarching goal of creating cultures of empathy, creativity, and trust, starting with how we communicate and connect with one another.
I love it. So creativity, empathy, and trust, it is all within the communication. There's a lot of communication coaches or leadership coaches. Improv is different, and that excites me. And I'm curious as to what specifically in the world of improv is, like, you know, just common themes that if you incorporate it into your workplace, you'd actually be kicking butt and having a just a better work environment. What are some of those themes?
Sure. So there's so many aspects of it, which is so much fun. The first is that the primary rule is that we always agree to say yes and. So what that means is we, whatever our partner says or puts forth, we agree that we're going to actively listen to that and say yes to it and then add on with our own idea. And so what this does is a few things. One, it teaches us how to actively listen because you can't add on to something that you didn't hear. It challenges us to actually consider the other person's viewpoint or idea before moving forward, when sometimes our natural tendency might be to be thinking more about what we're going to say versus being fully present and listening to the person in front of us. And a lot of times we miss out on great ideas because we say no before we've actually even considered it. And it opens us up to these great innovative ideas because now we are actually listening to the other person and looking for what can work versus what can't work. And that also builds trust because now that person knows that they can come to us and we will listen to them. We're not just going to squash their idea, say no, dismiss them. And that's just going to create that culture where there is that empathy, creativity, and trust. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of what can happen when we simply agree to say yes and.
I can imagine it's only the tip of the iceberg because sometimes you might not entirely agree, right? So you can't just say, yes, 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 you're the best, but you're more saying have like a open mind to yes. Because if someone comes in and you're thinking, no, not going to happen before they ever open their mouth, that's not collaborative, right?
Exactly.
What are some of these issues that you've noticed, some of those not to do's that are more common than you might expect? Are there certain things that we're doing wrong?
So there's exactly what you just said, that, you know, thinking nope before it even comes out of someone's mouth. And that idea of like, wait, I'm supposed to say yes to everything, like that can't be. That is something that comes up all the time. It actually just came up in a workshop that I did earlier this week with a team. When you know that the answer has to be no, what do you do? How does this still apply? And the idea is that that yes doesn't always have to mean, yes, I agree with what you're saying. It can simply be a yes, I'm here with you. I understand what you're saying. I'm going to acknowledge that you've been heard, that we are on the same team, and there's something different that we need to do here. Or you give that person a chance to say, all that they need to say. And then maybe there's something there that you hadn't considered before. And now you're off to the races with a completely new idea. You know, there's a couple of ways that that can go. And there was I've forgotten what the original question was. Oh, what are some of the
not to do's? You know, we're talking strategies and not to do's.
Not to do's. Yeah. Sure. Okay. Thank you, Ben, for keeping me on track. Another thing that comes up is this tendency to say but instead of and. And this even happens in exercises where it's like, we're going to say yes, and you still, even if someone doesn't say but, you can see it forming on their lips and they have to make that conscious choice to say, oh, but's coming up. I've got to switch it to and. And what I find so fascinating just about language in general is that when you simply make that switch, it completely changes the way that the other person leaves the conversation. Mm-hmm. So if you came to me and said, hey, Caitlin, I think I'm doing really great. I think I deserve a raise. And I said, yeah, Ben, you're doing great and you think you deserve a raise, but I'm going to have to go look at the budget first. That but immediately switches your brain to, oh, I've been shut down. They're not listening to me. Nothing here is going to happen. And you walk away feeling like, you know, wah, wah, wah. And you bring that into the rest of your day and everyone who you communicate with. Whereas if we make that simple switch of, yes, Ben, you think you're doing a great job. And I'm going to go look into the financials for that. I'm not giving any different information. But you walk away feeling like, okay, I have been heard. And they're at least going to do something about it, whether or not what I want actually ends up happening, that relationship is still, you know, intact. Maybe we've built some trust there as well. And no one has, you know, given any information that is false. It is what it is. I still have to go look at the financials. And, you know, I've acknowledged that, yes, you are doing a great job. And I'm going to go do something about it. I'm going to at least try.
Try your best to go do something. I'm wondering, and I think some people might be concerned that, well, there's no room for that raise. So is the yes and I'll look into the financials almost sidestepping a hard conversation? Is you know what I mean? What would happen when there's just no room for the raise? Obviously, you don't want to be forward and abrasive, but how do you say no without, oh, I'm just going to delay this? And honestly, you're still going to have to come back afterwards and say no, right? Well, I know this is a more complicated in the case.
No, that's a great question.
How would you mitigate that?
The neat thing about this yes and concept and the way that it works within those difficult conversations is that it does keep that communication open and it keeps it collaborative. So even if I did have to come back to you and say, you know what, Ben, I looked at the financials. We're not going to be able to give you the raise at this time. If we're both open to having the conversation and to fully listening to what the other person says, we'll likely come to a different solution a lot faster instead of just no butting each other the whole time. So maybe it ends up being, yeah, I can't give you a raise right now. And maybe there's something else that we could do to, compensate you for the great job that you're doing. And then it opens up this conversation where, yep, we can come up with something else together because we both have the same goal. We're both on the same team. It's not me versus you. It's us together working towards this common goal. And we're going to have this conversation in an open yes and kind of way. And the other nice thing about it is that when someone knows that they've been heard, their brain, you know, if they come to you with something that is stressing them out, a challenge that they're having, they're likely in a place where their brain is in kind of that fight or flight mode where everything can be perceived as a threat. So no matter what I say, they're going to see that as like, this person's attacking me. And in that mode, they can't think clearly or strategically or creatively. Mm. When we simply take that beat to be present with that person, let them know they've been heard, maybe even reflect back what they've said to make sure that we're checking for that understanding, their cortisol levels lower, they become more calm, and their brains move to that place where they can think more strategically and creatively as well. So now you're talking to someone who can actually hear you, who you can have that creative, collaborative conversation with, and you can really be thought partners in coming to that solution for that difficult conversation.
Yes, I love the term thought partners. Mm-hmm. I love that, thought partners. You're collaborating together. Maybe budget or finance or a raise can't be in store, but other incentives. And even, for example, I'm thinking, even just shouting them out as a great employee and basically recognizing them in front of the C-suite so they're in a position to kind of work their way into that raise, little things like that. I'm thinking in my life, Caitlin, so I don't have employees, but it's not totally uncommon that, you know, I'll show a client a product and, you know, we'll have to kind of negotiate on budget or something like that. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of cases, I can't just give the product away. I can't give the service away. So I can't, you know, cut it in half and only charge 50%. That's not beneficial to me. It disrespects, you know, me and my value. So mm-hmm. what I like to try to do is find small services and freebies that I can bundle in at the same price so they can get more benefit for their investment without me going in and not making any money. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of business people probably find themselves in that scenario. So in a scenario like that, I would say yes, and then I'd find a way to collaborate where, again, I don't want to drop my price 25%, but we can collaborate and find a mutually beneficial way where we both get as much value out of the conclusion as possible. Is that mm-hmm. a fair analysis? Because I want to try to start using it. I don't want to yes. mess up.
Yes, no, absolutely. And I just said yes, no. Absolutely. Yes, yes. And what I hear there is that there is that same goal of, I want to do a really awesome job for you. Right. And I want you to be able to get the most out of your investment. So we've both got the same goal that we're working towards together. And you're coming up with these different ways to be able to make that happen while you're both getting what you need. I have this rate. I have this value that I need to hold that boundary. Right. And I want to also serve you really well so that you get what you need out of this. And this ties into a second big principle in improv, ooh, which is that we're always looking to make each other look good. So that means that when I go out on stage, I'm not thinking about, okay, what's the hilarious thing that I'm going to say? And the audience is going to laugh and think I'm the best improviser on the stage. What I'm actually doing is going out on stage, looking for ways to set my teammates up for success. So if you watch an improv show and you see Whose Line Is It Anyway, or I guess a live improv show, yeah. the other one, and you see the person who's getting all the laughs, they're a good improviser. The person who is setting them up for those laughs is the really great improviser. And the way that we translate that to work is we look for ways to set our people up for success. We have to understand what they're good at. And sometimes that takes a little bit of digging and getting to know one another, because some of those talents or skills might be hidden. But once we have that understanding, when there's an opportunity to let them shine in that way, we set them up for that. And when they do have a challenge, we understand, you know, like, oh, let me grab this resource that I know that I have, or another person, and let's get the two of you connected so that you both look really good. Because we know that when we all agree to make each other look good, we all end up looking really great collectively. And we do it with less stress because we're not thinking like, oh, what are the things that I have to get done today? And I can only rely on myself. I can't reach out to anyone else. That's not a way that we want to work. That's stressful. And so when we understand the talent that's around us and we look for ways to set one another up to use those skills, then we all have a lot more fun. There's a lot more creativity and a lot less stress overall.
I love this. Yeah, I'm thinking back to, I was at Laugh Boston, and there's an improv troupe and they're doing Dirty Disney. And I'm not going to recreate the songs out of context. I'm just going to be blabbermouthing and vulgar. But they were taking Disney songs and making them sexual, kind of like poop, kind of gross jokes. Mm-hmm. And even in the audience, it's a couple of times I was like, this is gross. And I won't get into why, but I thought it was kind of gross. But they're on stage and they were embracing the gross together. And I kind of like it took me from the this is gross to this is hilarious. And I think what took me from gross to hilarious was the utter commitment. So someone would bring up a theme that was maybe, you know, they're taking Disney songs and they're singing them in gross ways. And it would bring up a theme, and the commitment to collaborating was like, I'm in awe. And a lot of people like me are like, I can't do that. I can't do that. Well, how do I do that? It's address that concern that like these people are trained improvisers and you're a trained improviser and you're great. And you can take something that maybe you wouldn't like to, you wouldn't be part of Dirty Disney, but some of these improvisers can take a really gross theme and commit to it. What if I feel like I'm not that person? And the concept of committing to something like that seems just like so far reaching for me.
Ooh, Ben, this is such a tough question. I have to tell you. So
we're on like the 301 course now.
Oh my gosh. Well, here's the thing. So this is the part of the like, the improv nerd and also rule follower that is coming up for me personally. we dive into like some personal reflection and awareness here. So at UCB, there's very much a understanding and a rule of like, we do smart comedy. We don't go blue, which is that like completely in the gutter. We are smarter than that. And we don't need to go for like the poop jokes in order to be funny. And so, there's that part of my brain that's like, I wouldn't be on that team. I couldn't do it.
Right.
But at the same time, your acknowledgement of like what made it work was that everyone committed to it and wasn't judging each other for it is really interesting and also very valid. And I could see how that could be done really well. So there's those two pieces of my brain that are kind of bickering at the moment.
And that's why, like, as I was watching it, I was like in awe, because what was happening was just my brain couldn't comprehend that they could do this.
Well, and I think that, so when you say, there's two things that I want to address here.
Yes.
I'll address the idea that this was subject matter that you were like, I don't think I could do this. And that is okay. This is a group of artists who decided this is the show we're going to do, and we're going to commit to it, and we're going to have each other's backs, and we're going to go for it. And this will be really fun for us. And that's fine. And as an artist, you know, that's just not a team that I would be on. Mm-hmm. And if you maybe you make the correlation between like company culture or something, you know, like this just, it just wouldn't be a fit.
I love that correlation. I just want to say, I love that correlation, because you might be in a company that doesn't work for you, and it might be a company culture issue, and it doesn't have anything wrong with the company, but you'd be a better fit in a different role at a different company.
Exactly. And then the other thing that you were saying, like, okay, these are trained actors. How could I do this? The fun thing is, you've been doing this all day. You know, no one gave you a script this morning and told you how this interview was going to go, or how any of the other meetings you might have or conversations that you have today are going to go. We're all improvising all the time. regardless. This is just another set of tools to put in your tool belt so that your conversations can be even more collaborative, even more positive. You can be more present in your day-to-day conversations. And Ben, is it okay if I share with everyone that you actually attended a workshop that I did recently? So you did improv. I mean, can I ask you how that was kind of going into it, maybe having that perception of like, oh, I don't think I can do improv. And then what the experience was for you actually doing it. I don't know if I'm allowed to turn the tables like that.
You are allowed.
And interview the interviewee or interviewer.
I don't mind it at all. And it does lead into questions because the biggest struggle I had was since we weren't experienced, I feel like we were just kind of putting our training wheels on as a team when we were improvising and not doing the best job, which was the biggest struggle. And I actually think I'm pretty decent at improv, but like the collaboration between the group with Zoom and it was like at times difficult, and it kind of leads into a question like, at times it will be difficult. So maybe you're yes anding and the other person's cold. How do you mitigate things like that? Where and this didn't happen in my session with you, but there was just like a lot of insecurity and like and what happens when the drastic example is someone's cold, but you're yes anding and it's just not jiving. Like, is there a way to like your energy to just allow someone to yes and? Like, what do you do when someone's just not vibing with you, what you're saying, or they're drastically completely cold and just saying the opposite of what you're, what do you do in scenarios like that?
They're no budding your yes and.
They're no budding. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So the most that you can do is be that example yourselves. Right. Because we can't change what other people are doing. We can only make the choice to change our own behavior. And so hopefully after a while, this person, you know, maybe their walls come down a little bit because now their no but fuel isn't being fired by you also coming at them with that same energy. You're starting to kind of neutralize that because you are being open, you are being present, and you are trying to find that common ground with that person. So hopefully after a while it rubs off, or maybe they're so frustrated with it that they decide that that's not the place for them. Hmm. All of that to say, really the simple and yet very complex answer is, it starts with you and changing your own behavior.
It starts with me. It starts with you, the listener. It starts with us. And how do I feel? How can I collaborate? I like asking these tough questions because I've got a brilliant gal across here. I know these are hard questions, but it sounds like for me, you kind of just have to get down to fundamentals. Like, not every interaction is going to go the way that I anticipated. Not everyone's going to yes and me. They might no but me. But if I'm showing up in my best self and I'm doing my best to collaborate, that's what's in my power, right? And then I can get better and better and better. But even just trying is better than being, you know, negative and not trying at all, right?
Absolutely. And sometimes after an initial workshop, people will walk away and they come back and say, like, all I did was notice how many times I say but. And I feel so bad about how many times I say but. And the wonderful thing is it starts with that self-awareness. So even if the only thing you walk away with is then the rest of that day noticing, oh my gosh, I said but so many times, that's okay. Because now you have that awareness and you can make a different choice moving forward.
I'm projecting right now, but I'm remembering a previous role where we used the word however, and it was actually in the script. And without giving away the script, it was you come in with a complimentary statement, then you say however, and then you basically gut punch them. And that's how you would get their attention. You would compliment. However, and I never liked giving the gut punch.
Yeah.
The gut punch was effective in creating like an emotional reaction. Mm-hmm. But again, this is maybe just me projecting. I never liked giving that, however, gut punch and then going into the negative stuff. For me, it wasn't collaborative. It seems like not being collaborative can be effective, but you're not leaving people better than when you started the conversation. You're almost like manipulating them to get your way, but they mm-hmm. don't get their way as well. Does that seem to happen?
Yes. And so what I think is so interesting is that when, I can't remember where I read this, I should probably try to figure that out, but I learned somewhere that when someone knows that they've been heard, whether or not you can give them what they need, they are much more likely to give you what you want or to agree to what you want. Now, with all of this, I want to put out there that this knowledge and this these tactics are meant to be used for good. Okay. And understanding that, yeah, when I just let someone know that they've been heard, when they know they've been listened to, they're so much more likely to actually be on board with whatever it is that I was hoping to get accomplished.
I love that. I like the term, I use the term a lot, listeners or leaders. Mm. Part of leading is actually listening to people and letting them know they've been heard, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's take it one of two ways. I'm going to let you choose. We can okay. either do a testimonial because everybody loves to hear success stories, or we could play a game if you have a game or an exercise you want to do live and people can watch me just fall on my face and have fun. We can do both as well, but would you rather do like one of these success stories or play a game?
Let's start with a success story and see how that goes.
Sounds great.
So what's the question? Just what's a success story?
Yeah. So, I mean, so you're working with large organizations a lot of the time. And mm-hmm. so lots of people in leadership roles, collaborative, HR, and a huge part of their job is communication. I mean, obviously there's paperwork and this and that, but without the communication, everything falls apart, right? So what is a situation, and obviously you don't have to use the name unless it makes them look great.
Sure.
What's a situation where you went into a company or an organization and maybe there were some issues that you had some concerns to mitigate? What was some of the things you did within and some of the success they got from working with them?
Sure. So there was one company who we did a full, you know, program. It wasn't just a one-time workshop and then it went away. And a lot of their people went through it. And some of the feedback that I got was that there were, you know, especially certain individuals who prior to then were, you know, maybe just didn't really share their ideas all that often and just started to open up and blossom a little bit more and felt a little bit more comfortable sharing. There was another organization where it was a leadership team that I was working with, and they shared that they moved from having meetings where it was very much like just a lot of no buts. And even if they're working towards the same goal, like no one's really listening to each other because they're only listening to themselves. And so not a lot is actually being accomplished within that meeting, to meetings where they're actually listening to each other and collaborating and things are being able to be moved forward instead of just that, like, no, but, no, but. Let's see what else. There's, so now that a lot of organizations are virtual, right, and now that we're 2 years into a pandemic, there's places where there are people on teams who have never met in person. And so now I'm having a lot of people come to me for just like, let's work on the communication. Let's also give them a chance to simply connect with these other people who they've only seen on a screen or maybe have only been chatting with over Slack. And let's build those relationships. And in that, we've focused a lot on that idea of making each other look good and learning about what the skills are of the other people on the team and learning about them more on that human level so that they can make those connections and feel more like a team moving forward too.
Like a team. And that is crazy, right? Some people haven't even met their, we're all virtual and some entire teams are virtual. Have you found that it's harder virtual and or more necessary that we're utilizing this communication virtual? It's difficult. So it's definitely probably required, right?
Yes. I'd say yes to both. It's more necessary because we don't have that, you know, just like we're not passing each other in the hallway. And so that space to connect on that personal level isn't really there because we log on and we do our thing. We have our meeting and then we log off. And this gives that opportunity to kind of just come into a space where we are having fun. So our brains are in that creative, collaborative, strategic thinking mode. And we can talk with each other in a way that is more collaborative. And I feel like I'm rambling at this point, but you kind of get the idea. Yeah, I think it's important.
And one more difficult thought is coming to mind. So this isn't just important in like you and I having a conversation right now or a live conversation. This can be shifted into things like emails and like, let's say I'm sending an email, I should be using the same strategies, the same yes and, no buts in my emails and my text messages and things like that as well. It's not just an improv, I'm on the stage, people are looking at me thing. This isn't everything I do, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's a great place to start because you can reread it and say, oh, I put a but there. Can I swap out with an and have it still make sense and be truthful?
That is such a good place to start. I was thinking, what homework should we give? Because we don't have enough time to do like a long activity, but I think that people should go home with an activity to try. That's definitely a great one. So start with email and text messages, start yes-anding, start collaborating there where you can take a breather. You might even say no, but in your head, but you can actually go and change that. Is there any other homework or activities that we can start implementing today? So again, we don't need to become improv professionals overnight, but what intention should we set for people to start trying today?
So here's another activity that I just learned about recently and thought it was really neat and have done it a lot with my son, actually, who has a lot of really great ideas, a lot of which are, you know, I know off the bat, no, we're probably not going to be able to dig a hole for your 2-year-old sister and put concrete down in a rug for her in the yard. It's this idea that any idea that someone has, there's at least 10% of it that you can agree with. So it's yes. And what I like about that idea is, and find that 10% that you like, share what that is, and then add on in a way that makes sense. So yes, you know, what I like about that idea is that you want to make a special place for your sister in the yard. And maybe we can make a dirt pit for her to play in that you can both play in together, you know, so you're not completely dismissing that idea. So I guess the other piece of homework could be look for that 10% of that other person's idea. What is that 10% that you can agree with so that you can move forward together?
I love this. Find the 10% you can agree with. It seems like it's almost like the intention, like, I want to fly off. A child wants to fly off into Netherland. Well, we can't fly, but I love that you're thinking of creative ways that we can have fun together. Why don't we do this? And you can still have fun and feel like you're flying without jumping off the roof of a building. So
exactly.
Kind of finding that 10%, which to me, what I hear is the intention behind the action. Find that 10%. I agree with where you're going with this, but I can't actually, I just said, but I agree where you're going with this. And I love that idea. Let's do this because I don't know if that's entirely achievable kind of thing. I can't, it's so hard not to say the but. Like it's so, but in the moment I can hear myself, and that's good, right? So it's going to be awkward if I'm correcting myself mid-sentence. It is kind of awkward, but since I'm noticing these things in the moment, it means I'm conscious of it, which means I can only get better, I imagine, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's all part of learning. So, and there's this framework called the learning steps. So we start a place where we are unaware and unskilled. So we don't know what we don't know. Right. And then we go to a place where we're aware, but we're still a little incompetent. So now we know, but like you said, it feels awkward. And then we go to a place where we are aware and we are competent. So we're putting it into practice. It's starting to feel a little better. And then we go to a place where it's not even something that we have to think about because it's become so ingrained in who we simply are.
I love this. I've heard this before, Caitlin. The way I remember it was incompetent, consciously incompetent, consciously,
yes, there you go.
Consciously competent, and then unconsciously competent, where you're dirty Disney with your friends and you're doing things that I would never imagine doing, but you're so consciously competent at that skill set that it just comes right out of you. You just, the energy just, oh, and that's where we all want to be long term, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not at dirty Disney per se, but unconsciously competent with these communication principles.
Right. Exactly.
Wow. Okay. So I feel like I just went through like 101, 201, 301, 401. I'm going to take a nap and then think about this all day. But before we close out, I want to do the rapid fire round. Short, sweet, either or, fill in the blank questions. You can cross it out and just answer it however you want. But it's just to get to know Caitlin a little bit better. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee with lots of creamer.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Favorite season?
Summer.
Are you a morning person?
I have to be a morning person because I have two small children.
Requirement.
Yes.
Favorite superhero or fictional character that's just so super cool?
Oh my gosh.
You can even create your own superhero if you wanted to.
I'm totally drawing a blank.
I feel
I'm not super into superheroes.
I was at an interview.
Word girl. I'll go with word girl.
You are the word girl. I love it. I was at an interview.
No, it's a real one. It's a children's show on PBS Kids.
I'm gonna write that down. Word girl. I was at an interview and they asked me what animal I was. I know that's like by now a common question, but I'm like, I literally probably had my mouth open for like 3 minutes. I'm like, what is my spirit animal? Homo sapien?
And I don't think you're supposed to say spirit animal anymore.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Yep.
We'll do one more and it's, What are you excited about today? Like what is getting you out of bed in the morning? What are you learning? What's new and exciting?
I'm excited. I've got a few workshops coming up that I'm just really excited to get ready for. And I've got an in-person one coming up that's going to be, I haven't done many of those in the last couple of years. So looking forward to that. And yeah, just looking forward to doing the fun work that I get to do.
Another thing to look forward to, so this won't come out right away. I pre-record them. So by the time it comes out, it's going to be springtime. And hopefully there's going to be more of those in-persons. Wow. I'm very optimistic about where we're going. And I'm excited because, again, I did a virtual workshop with Caitlin. It was incredible. It was fun. I loved it. I learned a lot. I learned more even with today, kind of asking questions lingering from that workshop. But getting in person to do this kind of thing just sounds like it would be a magical experience.
It's a lot of fun.
Tell us. Go on.
Oh, I was just going to say it is my absolute joy. And you can see this to some extent for sure on Zoom, even more so in person, where, you know, I walk into a room and usually when people are told like, hey, we're going to be doing improv together, they're like, ooh, I don't, the reaction isn't always great, you know? And so, you know, seeing the people who at first were very tentative and maybe a little bit nervous about it, and, you know, giving them enough structure and safety to try something new, and by the end have them be like, oh my gosh, I did improv today. and it, right. You know, I didn't evaporate into thin air. Everything was okay. That is just such a joy. And I'm excited to get to do that in the presence of other people.
The transformation in the presence. Let's watch them transform live. And you're not going to transform into a whole new being. We need to do this every day in all we do in life. Caitlin, how do people continue to keep in touch with you? Website, email, LinkedIn, phone. What's the best way to follow you, learn from you, and continue the conversation?
So I'm on LinkedIn. I post, you know, both on the company page and my personal page. My website is inspireimprov.com. And all my contact information is there. They can book a call if they're curious. And yeah, that's the best way to keep in touch.
Keep in touch, guys. Check out the show notes. I'll put those links, that information there. Send us a message and give us a takeaway. Let us know what you are going to be implementing. I know no more no buts for me. And my goal is really just to set an intention to be mindful of these things at all times, whether it's a specific strategy. But I'm curious as to what strategies the listener, you, are going to implement. So connect with Caitlin, connect with me, send us a message, and we'll continue the conversation. Caitlin, thanks for coming on the show. This has been like super fun, and it's different than my usual episode, and I love that. And I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to do this.
Oh, thanks for having me, Ben.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone. Welcome, everyone, to Rochester Business Connections on the Real Business Connections Network. I am here with Caitlin Drago. Caitlin, what's up? I just said your name wrong.
No, that was fine.
Drago. I said Drago.
Did you say Drago?
Yeah.
It's fine. It doesn't
What's work. Funny is sometimes when I do the name stuff, I get it wrong because I try to not get it wrong, and then I get it wrong. So I'm going to do this one more time. And if I like that, I actually might keep I'm going to use this as a blooper. That's going to be the blooper at the end of the show. All right.
Well, the thing is with Drago, it should be Drago. It's Sicilian, but three generations of Rochesterians have made it into Drago.
Can I use Drago? Do you like Drago?
Let's go with Drago, just because that's how it's my married name, so I pronounce it how the family pronounces it.